towering personality. And in addition to the book that was written about his life, many collections of his shmuzim, Divrei Torah, have been put together over the years since he passed away, probably about 20 years ago or so, from his Talmidim. And there's one such collection that I have at home called In Search of Greatness. And he talks about the nace of the Pach Shemen as something which relates not just to the specific event, the Chashmonaim coming to the Beis HaMikdash, not being able to find any kosher oil, but something which is much more broad and something that has an afkamina for us personally. And if you look at the Gemara in Shabbos, in those sugyas, the Achav Beis, the Gemara asks, trying to understand the mitzvah of lighting the menorah in general in the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan, right? Unusual, really, because when we talk about the mitzvahs of Torah, Chazal are not preoccupied with trying to find the reasons for the mitzvahs. Usually, are less concerned with the why, more concerned with the what. Of course, if we understand the tamei ha-mitzvahs, as many say, it's not just the tam as the reason, but it's really the flavor. We can't fathom the depth to the full extent of why Hashem Baruch Hu chose to get this mitzvah or that mitzvah, what's behind it. But by understanding some of the philosophy behind a mitzvah, it gives it tam. What's tam? Not just a reason. Tam can also mean a taste to make it more palatable, to make it something which we can relate to and become enthusiastic about when we assign it certain symbolic importance or certain messages. Again, as long as we acknowledge that's not the only message, but that's an important avodah. But in Chazal, you don't find that question asked too much. And here in the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara asks about the menorah, what exactly is the purpose? Do you need to light up the Beis HaMikdash? Was it too dark in there and they couldn't do the avodah? So one thing which would seem to disprove that is the construction of the windows. Shlomo HaMelech had windows in the Heichal, in the Kodesh of the Beis HaMikdash. Now these windows were very unusual, okay? Because if you want to give as much light to a room as possible, so the way to do it is to design the shape of the windows in such a way where, let's say, we're in this room, construct your windows so that coming from the outside they're narrow and they become wider, because it gives the effect of collecting the light and diffusing it in the room that is inside. Okay, so you could have these windows that are narrow on the outside of the building and then they're wider inside the building. That would produce the greatest amount of light. But the Beis HaMikdash were just the opposite. The Beis HaMikdash, they were narrow on the inside and they were wider on the outside. So b'chlal, there's a discussion about how that represented the light of Torah, the light of the mitzvahs, the light of the Avodas Hashem, was what brought light to the rest of the world. That's not what we're going to focus on. But what we will focus on is that clearly the object of the candles were not purely so that we should be able to create light in the Beis HaMikdash, inside the Heichal. Moreover, the Gemara tells us to give a little more understanding of the symbolism of the menorah. The Gemara tells us in Bavavash Dachavhei, HaRotze Lahachkim Yadrim. If a person wants to become wise, he should point to the south when he davens. It also says if he wants to become rich, he should point to the north. Okay? Get to that in a second. You'll understand why north and south. Obviously, when you daven Shemoneh Esrei, you're supposed to face primarily to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? So in New York, you focus more or less to the east, towards Yerushalayim. Right? But even within that facing to the east, you can point your head a little bit towards the south or the north if you're looking for one of these schools. So if you want to, reach Chachma, if you want to achieve Chachma, you should point to the menorah. Right? The menorah, the south, because the menorah was positioned on the south side of the Heichal where it was located. The Shulchan is more representative of physical wealth and physical possessions. It was where the Lechem Haponim, where the bread, food that we eat, physicality, was stored. Okay, so it's associated more with the Gashmis, whereas the menorah was representative of Kiner Mitzvah Torah or the Chachma. So facing the south has a special school of Chachma. That's number one. Number two, there's one Brachos. Anyone learn the end of Brachos? We're talking about dreams. If you see this in your dream, it means this. If you see that in your dream, it means that. Martin Brachos Dachman Zion says that if someone sees Shemen in their dream, they can expect to grow in Torah. That Shemen also seems to have some sort of connection to Chachma. So it's no surprise when you put those two Gemaras together. And the Nitziv writes that when Moshe Rabbeinu would be perplexed and he would have trouble understanding the mitzvahs and the Torah that Hashem was teaching him, that he had to go and teach the people, he he would go to the Beis HaMikdash and look at the light of the menorah. And that would inspire him and help him understand more deeply the Chachma of the Torah. And by the way, that's something you should do on Hanukkah. We're told that you should make time after you light the candles to stay and sit by the light, to learn by the light, because a person can absorb the Chachma of Torah through that exposure to the light. Now, all this is no surprise, right? Because what exactly was the Yesod of Chanukah? The Yesod of Chanukah was the triumph over the Greeks. What the Greeks wanted was not to destroy our Gashmis, they wanted to destroy our Ruchnis. It was not an anti-Semitism that was founded upon, let's just destroy the Jews, get them out of here, take over Israel, and push them into the Mediterranean. That wasn't their goal. They would be very happy if we would stay around, be loyal subjects. All they wanted us to do was renounce the wisdom of Torah, the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and attach ourselves to the wisdom of Greece, which, again, was expressed in the fact that they wanted to abolish the mitzvos, not us. They didn't care about us so much as they wanted to come and oppose the Torah rather than kill us. So the victory of the Greeks was that primacy of Torah over secular knowledge. Now, the difference between Torah and secular knowledge is not the fact that, okay, this is physical and learning Torah is something which is sublime and spiritual, but it's even more than that. You can spend a lot of time working and studying and gaining knowledge in any area, in science, in nature, in math, in any aspect of the general world. You'll amass that knowledge, and whatever point you reach depends on your physical capacities and your faculties and your IQ and your memory, etc. You'll work at it, and you'll gain, you'll grow in that regard. When it comes to Torah, you're doing something entirely different. Rabbeinu Bachai explains, when a person's learning, what they're doing is not simply amassing knowledge. You don't gain knowledge by figuring out problems and by using your rational capabilities to decipher and decode. The way you amass knowledge of Torah is by connecting directly to the source. Okay, it's the difference between plugging directly into the outlet and drawing on that energy, okay, as opposed to receiving it secondhand. Okay, when a person is plugged into Torah, it means there's a direct connection to Ruchnius, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that conducts that Torah to you directly, to your neshama. So a person wants to be machken, a person wants to become wise, a person wants to gain wisdom of Torah, what they're doing is yadrim. They have to face the menorah. They have to direct themselves to the shemen of the menorah. To look at the pach shemen, to look historically at the features of that menorah and the oil that was placed in the menorah, the fact that a little jug was able to burn for 8 days, and to learn something from that. You want to plug yourself into that chachma, you want to be machkim and grow in learning and all the spiritual elevation that comes along with it, point to that, look at that nes of the pach shemen, and appreciate that even the most minimal amount of the drop of the oil that was only supposed to last one day can illuminate much more brightly than the physical capacities we imagined, or the Chashmonaim even imagined it would be able to achieve. A person is learning, and they're working on a Gemara, they're working on a Rashi or a Tosfos, and they're breaking their head, and they don't understand it. Sometimes you get frustrated, and sometimes that frustration leads you to the conclusion, I can't handle it, my brain can't handle this, I don't have the ability to break through this, I can't understand it, save it for the people who are smarter than me. You know, I can learn a few Mishnayos, that's good enough for me, that's what I'm capable to accomplish. The answer is that you can light up the entire Shas with oil that seems barely sufficient to learn one Mishnah. That the nes of the Pach Shemen was even though the Chashmonaim didn't need the Pach Shemen, right? The kasha that all the Mepharshim ask is that Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. If the entire nation, or most of the nation, is Tameh, you don't need to find a little jug of oil that has the seal of the Kohen Gadol on it. Everyone asks that, what kind of miracle was that? Hashem didn't need to do this for us. And they didn't need to not light the oil because it was Tameh, and I have to find one which was Tahor, because the Torah permits us to do the Avodah Beis HaMikdash when most of the people are Tameh, even when we're Tameh. But that wasn't good enough. They weren't satisfied with, you know what, whatever we can handle, we're Tameh, alright, so we'll light Tameh oil and we'll be satisfied, let's count our blessings and not, and you know, and be Mesameach B'Chalko. But the Kohanim weren't, the Chashmonaim were not satisfied. They said, we're going to push it and push it and push the limits, and show ourselves and show the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make success come even from resources that would seem to be insufficient, until they found that little jug of oil that wasn't supposed to last. Wasn't supposed to last. They could have been depressed, and they could have given up, and said, you know what, this is what we have, let's just use it. Let's just be satisfied with where we're holding. But they insisted on using the little bit of oil, and that's the Rutsa Shiyachim Mahadrim, to look towards the south, to look towards the menorah, look towards the shemen, and take a practical lesson. He goes on to talk about his experience as a young boy. He met the Chazon Ish, and he said he was frightened to meet the Chazon Ish. But one thing that gave him chizik was the Chazon Ish sensed his trepidation. And he said, you should know that the Gedolim of previous generations, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, and then Tziv, and the Ketzos, they weren't illusion, they weren't geniuses. But they really worked at it. Everyone knows the story of the Netziv? You know, the story of the Netziv, the story was unbelievable. Netziv was Rabbi Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, the grandfather, the father-in-law of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. He was Rosh Shiva of Lozhin. Rosh Shiva of Lozhin, till it closed in 1892. He wrote many, many, many Sfarim, and one of the Gedolei HaDor. And when he was a young child, I don't know, about the age of 10, he told this story. He wrote one of his many Sfarim, was the Hamak Shaila, a commentary on the Shiltos of Rabbi Chaim. And when he completed the Sefer, he made a big scene. And he explained why the Sefer was so important to him. Because when he was about 10 years old, he was in his bed late at night, and he overheard his parents talking in the next room. And he heard them saying, you know what, little Naftali, you know, I think we're going to have to apprentice him to a shoemaker. He's given a bunch of years to cheder, a bunch of years to yeshiva. All right, and you know, he's okay. He learned a little bit. Doesn't look like he's the next Gadol Hador. Time to move on, time for him to go out into the world and learn a trade so he'll be able to make a parnasa when he grows up. And he heard this on from the other side of the wall, and he got frightened. And he thought about, like, what's going to happen when I come to Shemayim? When I come to Shemayim, they're going to show me Svarim that I could have written. And they're going to say, "New, where's your Ham Shal? Where's this Sefer and that Sefer and this Sefer and that Sefer?" And he's going to say, "What are you talking about? I was a simple shoemaker. Like, what do you want from me? I wasn't capable of producing those things." And they're going to say, "No, you were. Who told you to become a shoemaker? That wasn't what you were cut out. You were cut out for much more than that." And he realized, if I don't go back, starting tomorrow, and work as hard as I possibly can, I'm not going to live up to my potential. And he exceeded everyone's expectations. He didn't become a shoemaker. He became one of the great Talmid Chachamim generation. And he lived to see what he imagined they would be asking of him one day in Shemayim. And it was that vision of am I reaching my potential that kept him going and kept him growing. Now, we may be the Netziv, we may not be the Netziv. But what we are, for sure, is a Pashav. Every single one of us is a Pashav. Every single one of us is a small jug of oil that has so much more potential than we sometimes allow ourselves to think. And we sell ourselves short in underestimating what we're capable of. And one thing that Hanukkah, they don't teach this in school, this is one thing you should walk out of Hanukkah with. Not just that there was, once upon a time there was a miracle that the oil burned for longer than it was supposed to burn. No. Walk out of Hanukkah thinking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a little bit of kochos and allows them to expand to amazing proportions when you have the sincerity and the conviction to say, Hashem, I'm not giving up. I'm not just going to be settled with and satisfied with tummy oil. I'm going to push the limits and say, Hashem, you can make this happen. Please help me. And Shlomo finishes with an unbelievable shot in a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Can you pass me Pirkei Avos, please, Maxwell? Perek Dal Mishnah test is as follows. Simple shot in the Mishnah. You never see anything more. You never think that this has anything to do with Hanukkah. Listen to this. Perek Tes Mishnah test. With Yonasan Omer, call him a Kaimis a Torah mi Oni. Anyone who fulfills the Torah in poverty, so full of Kaimim mi Osher. In the end, Hashem will bless him to allow him to fulfill the mitzvahs of the Torah mi Osher, from wealth. Right? Meaning if he didn't give up when he didn't have the money, but he kept pushing, Hashem will allow him to one day be able to fulfill the Torah with comfort and with luxury. Chol mevatel the Torah mi'osher, so full of vatel mi'oni. The person is mevatel from Torah when he has the wealth, and he has the capacity to spend that time and use his resources for learning, so full of vatel mi'oni. Hashem says that ultimately he will come to be mevatel Torah mi'oni, out of poverty. He will really be unable to do it. It's a scary thing. But let's leave the second half of the Mishnah out for a moment. Let's look at the first half. First half of the Mishnah says, "Makayim esator me'oni sofal kam me'osher." If you fill the Torah out of poverty, ultimately you'll be able to fulfill the Torah also out of richness, out of wealth. Explains the Chovas HaLevavos. That this is not just talking about mamonis. It's not just talking about how much money you have, and how much free time, and how many days of vacation you have, and if you have a job where you make your own schedule and you make your own hours, and if I have a lot of money so I can make time for myself to learn. No, it's even talking about intellectual abilities. If a person is having trouble learning, and in terms of motivation, in terms of their capacity to focus and sit. So you can say to yourself, that's it, I'm just going to give up. I'm not going to learn Torah me'oni. I'm out of poverty, not poverty of riches, but poverty of skills and abilities. If a person makayim Torah, even despite that, they say, I'm going to keep working harder, and I'm not going to give up, and I'm going to take it to the next step and push myself. You may be an ani, you may be, so to speak, poor in understanding, in concentration, in memory, but so full of kamim osher. If you persist and you endure, Hashem says you'll be able to be matzliach at a chokhmas haTorah as well. In chokhmas haTorah too, may osher. The osher is not the monetary wealth, but you'll be successful in achieving it also with a wealth of skills and abilities like the Netziv ultimately triumph. And he adds, Rav Shlomo adds to what Chovas HaLevavos says, the same thing is true on the individual circumstantial details of a person's life. You go to the Beis Medrash after a long day of working, of studying, you thought you didn't have enough time, you didn't have enough concentration, you're exhausted, you're tired, it's hard to learn. So then you're an oni, not of monetary oni, not of intellectual oni, but you're an oni of just ability to work, because you're exhausted and you're tired, and you lack the time, because you're so busy with everything else. If you're Mekayim Mitzvah Torah and you learn even Mitoch that oni, Hashem says, don't worry, I'm going to make it easier for you. I'll allow you to be Matzleach in whatever you're studying for with less time studying. I'll allow you to succeed in your classes and be even more efficient in your homework. So that because when you double up those efforts, when you think you don't have the time, Hashem says, I will show you'll be able to have that time. When you take that oil and you burn it a little bit longer, even when you thought there was nothing left in the flask, Hashem says it's going to keep burning longer than you ever thought it would be able to continue. Don't forget that on time.